today. Today is Wednesday, April 22nd, third day of the month of Iyar, Yom HaZikaron. This is the women's Chumash Shir. We're up to Bereishit, end of Perek Chet. Okay, Rabotai. We are up to the end of Bereishit Perek Chet. And we had read one of the critical psukim. It's Perichet, Pasuk Chaf Aleph. That Noach in Pasuk Chaf had decided to offer Korbanot. Vayorach Hashem et Reach Anichoach. God smelled the pleasant smell. Vayomer Hashem Elibo. Lo osif lekalel od et ha'adama ba'avur ha'adam. I will not continue to curse the earth on account of man. Ki yetzer lev ha'adam ra min urav. Because man's inclinations are bad from the time that he's born. Velo osif od lahakot et kol chai kasher asiti. And I will no longer strike out against all living creatures as I just did. So there are several comments that I would like to see made by Parshanim. First of all, God did not explicitly tell Noach to offer a korban. We had said that Noach thought of this idea independently based on the fact that God asked him to take seven of the kosher animals and only two of the non-kosher animals into the teva, and he was curious, why did I have to take five additional animals from the kosher kind? It led him to conclude that he's supposed to offer a korban from those korbanot. So take a look at page one that I distributed. Is a comment of the Or HaChaim. And he says as follows. The decision of God not to strike out against man seems to be related to the fact that shmack shmack that HaKadosh Baruch Hu smelled the korbanot. That's what it seems to indicate. Vayorach Hashem et Reach HaNichoach Vayomer Hashem Elibo. So something about the korban convinced God to make a decision. What decision did it make? Lo osif lekala. So we have to see there's a corollary, a connection between one and the other. And that's what Or HaChaim addresses. Simple. What did God see based on the fact that he offered a korban that he now made this decision? See, the Or HaChaim says, Kavanat ha-hoda'a lomar, the intention of this idea is to tell us, Shehagam, shekorban shehikriv Noach, minichasav, heim nichsei shamayim. If I were to go ahead and what? And give a gift to God from my stuff, that's nice. You come to the king and you offer him a gift of something that belongs to you. But if the thing belongs to the king, and now you're coming back and say, here, Mr. King, I'm giving you a gift that belongs to him anyhow. Oh, grace of Gedillah, oh, what kind of gift is that? Says the Or HaChaim, despite the fact that all of the korbanot that God, that Noach is offering, are not necessarily gifts of Noach unto HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because they are owned by God in any event, God created these animals and indeed instructed Noach to save them. So what's the big deal that he got excited about that Noach is offering a korban from something that doesn't even belong to him? Afal pikein nitratze bohem. Nonetheless, God what? Found the act of sacrifice as pleasing unto him. And as through the medium of their offering, nodav lehetiv He decided to what? To be goody goody, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'nishba shelo yachriach od kol basar mibli she'elat davar mimenu. He will not what? Decide to what? To destroy a people. Ela kabayocho me'atzmo nisratze ki'ilu mashikibel hu shel hamakriv ve'eno shelo. God accepted the korban as if it did not belong to him, but as if it belonged to Noah, and he offers it as a gift.
And without Noah asking him, in return for this korban, will you promise not to kill us all?
That is correct.
He decided on his own.
That is correct. So, ultimately, what does the act of the korban symbolize that God was so impressed? What does it symbolize that God was so impressed? Okay, it could say tshuva, but on the one hand, what was there Noach to do tshuva for himself and his family? So now let's be the devil's advocate. If Noach was deserving of, if he was guilty and a chote, what did he deserve to do? To be killed like everybody else. The fact that we're going to only read the text, no midrashim, even though I know we spoke about no midrashim. You read the text, and what impression does the text leave us about Noah overall? Tzadik, tamim haya b'dorotav, eto Elohim etalech Noah. So, why would he feel compelled to do tshuva? So, what would you say is the that what? But I want you to think along the lines of the seed that Orach Chaim planted in our eyes. Noach perceives that the animals what? Belong to him. And he's now, what's he doing with his animals? Even though we know they don't belong. What is he doing? He's offering them unto whom? Unto HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Just one second. So when a person comes to recognize that your own personal property does not belong to you, that is the most critical statement that a person can make in acknowledging the role of God in a person's life. By stating that which I own, I am now returning to whom? To its rightful owner. That is the type of statement which HaKadosh Baruch Hu finds incredibly pleasing. Incredibly pleased. What was the single source, the single reason given for the mabul? What aveira?
Hamas.
What is the Hamas predicated? What idea is Hamas predicated upon? That doesn't belong. Exactly. There is something that belongs to me, something that doesn't belong to me, and I want to take it. Instead of acknowledging that what? It's rightful owner. It's rightful owner. Well, Noach, what does he really do? What statement is he making? I'm acknowledging the ultimate rightful owner. I'm acknowledging the ultimate rightful owner of these animals. And hence, to some extent, he is doing tshuva for whom? For whom? For the entire creation that God had created. The source of their downfall was, as the Torah says, Kimala Haaretz Hamas. Again, we're just reading the text. A theft, theft, theft. That's what it was. Theft is predicated upon the fact that I don't respect the rights of others. Noah here is recognizing that there is the right of authority, there is ownership, the ultimate ownership. And that God gives license to whom? For you and me to own something. On condition that what? He allows me to own my animals as long as I do what? Respect that you own your animals. So by acknowledging the role of God, by presenting these korbanot to the ultimate owner, Noach is in effect making the statement that I pledge that going forward, what are people going to do? They're going to respect the right of ownership. Hence, God's reason for destruction will no longer be in existence. Therefore, what does God say? Vayomer Hashem libo lo osif lo lekalel. Lo osif, I will not go ahead lekalel to adamah. Just hold on 1 second. Rashi points out that the fact that it says lo osif twice indicates that God took an oath. An oath. Even though it never uses the word shvua, the fact that he doubled the expression, lo osif, is an indication that he took an oath. And in fact, Yeshayahu makes reference to the oath that God took. Take a look at the Haftarah of Parshat Noach. It's a very famous Haftarah because it's read twice a year. It's read as Parshas Noach, and it's also read as the Haftarah of Parshat Re'eh and Kiseitzeh. Namely, during the Shiva de Nechemta. So in the middle, you will find, it's the no psukim identified here. It's about, if you have to, which, I don't know which volume you're using. Yeah, you see what the pasuk would says, Ki me noach zotli asher nishbati me'avor me noach od al ha'aretz. You got it? What pasuk is that?
Tet.
So look at the pasuk, the two psukim before it. Berega katon azavtich. I left you in a moment. Rega katon. In other words, it didn't take much to get me angry at you. But berachamim gidolim akapsech. I will gather you, not, you know, with a well thought out plan, and it'll be rachamim gidolim. Bitshetzef ketzef histarti panai rega mimech. With a lightning bolt of anger, I turned my face away from you. Histarti panai rega mimech. For just a second. Uvechesed olam richamtich. But when I decide to reunite with you, it's not going to be for a second, but it will be what? Chesed olam. Amar goel en Hashem. Why? How do I make that promise? How can I make that promise, says Yeshayahu? That even though God will abandon you in a second, when he decides to what? To return, it'll be, you know, a long-lasting one. Ki me noach zotli. The proof in the pudding is the waters of Noah. Asher nishbati me'avor me noach od al ha'aretz. Kain nishbati miktzof alayich. So too I have taken an oath not to get angry at you. Umig arbach. When God got angry at Noah, how long? It was two psukim that we said. What did God say? I see it. And what did I say? What did I say? Son, I'm sorry I created the world. Okay. How many years has it been since the flood of Mabul? How many years has it been since the flood? 5,000 something years? Whatever it is. That's chesed olam. I decided in a moment to get rid of you. But once I decided to what? To no longer abandon you, it's forever. How do I know? Says Yeshayahu, ki mei noach. That's exactly what happens by Noach. The promise that God made is going to be a long-lasting one. There has never been another flood to what? To eradicate all the peoples and the earth itself. Has not been. So this particular korban is what is responsible for this incredible change in God's view. Adds a question. Go right ahead.
It's kind of like a progression that in the beginning, if you sin, you pay with your life, and now if you sin, you pay with your property, and after the korban of Beit Hamikdash, if you sin, you pay with neshama pera. But then it's all part of the same progression.
That is correct. It's very nice. From your life to your property, offering a korban, in the absence of a Beit HaMikdash, you say, I'm sorry, and you read the psukim of bringing a korban, and that's it. Correct. Yes.
Noah show initiative. He just did what he was told. And now, bringing the korban, you would think that the experience would alienate Noah from Hashem. And he takes the initiative to approach him. And that God also went through the experience that arouses his wrath.
That's very nice. That's very nice. Very nice. Excellent. Excellent. Now, the Kli Yakar, right on the bottom of that page, points out how the first thing that God says in this pasuk is Lo osif od what? Lekalel whom? Et ha'adamah. Wow. We've learned Sefer Bereishis only a couple of prakim, and how many times has the earth been cursed? 3 times already. Let's read them. It'll remind us of 3 times the earth has been cursed. Look at the Kli Yakar. V'chein ne'emar le'adam arura ha'adama ba'avurech. When Adam ate what? The Eitz Hadas. What did HaKadosh Baruch Hu say? The land is going to be cursed because of you. U'mikan ra'aya. And from here, and then what was the second time? What was the second time that the earth was cursed? Correct, when Cain killed Abel, that the earth is not going to be able to produce as well as it. And what question should you ask as a logical person? What question should you ask as a logical person? What? What? What connection is there between the earth and man's sins? Oh, so now Kli Yakar is going to state emphatically that the earth, in effect, is partly responsible for who man is, and therefore suffer. That's exactly. And listen to how he's going to portray the Mabul. Just 1 second. Let's read this. Umikan ra'aya, and from here there is proof. You are all the Kli Yakar. You all said the same thing. So you were mechaven to the Kli Yakar. Sheha adama haita siba el cheta adam. There must be some connection between the land and what? And the fact that man transgresses. Ki nitna bo chomer gas ve'av hanote biyoter al hachumriyut. What does that mean? That the earth, the raw materials from which man are made give man a certain inclination. What kind of inclination is it?
Material.
A materialistic one, exactly. That's all you have when you're created. Adam, afar min ha'adama. That's what you are. Kimoshin emar. Now he quotes Nechama's favorite pasuk in Parshas Achrimos. Vatitma ha'aretz v'efkod avona aleha. That when the God tells us in Parshat Achrimot in Vayikra 18 that we should not emulate the ways of the 7 nations who we are about to occupy, because if we do emulate their ways, God is not just going to kick us out of the land, but what's going to happen? Vatitma haaretz. The land itself will become what? Defiled. And God, I will remember its sin. The earth, the land's contribution to man's sin. V'zeh ne'emar dafka, this is said, al zayin umot asher yashuv ba'aretz, hakdosha lifanim. This is said about the 7 nations, what? Who lived in Israel. Ya'an ki afal pi shitzavar HaKadosh Baruch Hu afaro mikol arba ruchot ha'olam v'nimtza shekol ha'aratzot yesh lahem chelek b'chet ha'adam ki kulam natnu bo chomer av v'gas mikol makom kol sha'ar ha'aratzot kiblu dinam v'nit taharu mimei ha'mabul. Wow! How does a person get cleansed from an avera? What do you have to do? You have to immerse in the mikvah. Well, that's what the earth had to do. The earth had to be immersed in the mikvah. So the mabul is simply the manner in which what? The earth is being cleansed. Being cleansed. So why is it, he's going to ask in a second, why is it that what? That the land of the Shiva Amamin is still subject to what? To pollution as Vatit Maha Aretz? Because he's operating with Chazal that what did not come to Eretz Yisrael. The Mabul never went to Eretz Yisrael. So if the Mabul was never in Israel, the cleansing process of Eretz Yisrael could not come about automatically. And hence it was still subject to being defiled. And God warns us, do not emulate the practices of the seven nations that are currently there, because that will lead to defiling the land, and I, God, will remember to punish the land on account of your of the sin for its contribution.
Is there an assumption that the land has a kavana?
Not a kavana, but it plants the raw materials within man to focus on only materialistic items in this world. Nothing spiritual. That is correct. That is correct. That is correct.
So the land is being punished for something it didn't even want to do.
I hear. That's a good question. That's a good question. I don't have a good answer.
Substandard material is used to form man.
What?
Substandard material is used to form man.
Now, turn the page over for a minute. And that will appreciate even more. Yes?
So it wasn't really
That's correct. Because, no, it's putting a big charge on whom? On whom? The residents. So when we're living there, we have the capacity to what? To be mitaherit through our actions. But if your actions do, it will... That's correct. That's correct. Now we'll appreciate a little more, not a Kli Yakar who operates in the mystical world, but a simple Ramban, who makes the observation that there is a very big difference between, I pointed out one difference between the way God described man before the Mabul at the beginning of chapter 6, where it said, V'chol yetzer machshevot libo, rak ra kol ayom. And here there is another word. Here it only says ra, not rak ra, but it also adds another word, which the Ramban comments. It says, ki yetzer machshevot adam, ra min urav. Minne'urav. Let's read the Ramban. Milamed aleim zechut. God is using this as a defense for mankind. She yitziram yitziratam bitoladat ra'a bimei haneurim v'lo bimei hazikna. The natural tendency of a person to be bad is only when? During his youth. Not when he is already older. Tell me why. Tell me why. What? Good. So, what? Now tie everything in. When you don't have a sophisticated brain, the only thing that you think of what? You don't think of spiritual things, think of the material. And as a result, you see somebody has a little more than you, so what do you want to do? You want to snatch it. So, and in fact, Chazal say that when is your Yetzer Hara given to you? The moment you are born. When is your Yetzer Tov given to you?
It's a very...
When you reach the age of mitzvot. Bar or bat mitzvah. So it's telling, even Chazal have somehow bought into it, that kids are wild Indians. And their natural inclination is to be what? Destructive, to not respect people's property. That's a natural instinct of a human being. Now it takes what? Education and sensitivity to overcome it. It's not that your natural inclination is what? To be a goody-goody and then you learn how to be a destructive force. No, quite the opposite. You're born with destructive force capacity. And now as you mature, as you interact with people, you somehow develop a sense that the tendency to destroy has to be controlled. In Cain, Eila hakot et kol chai. I'm on line 3. Therefore, God says, I don't find any real reason to strike out against all living creatures. Mipnei shnei ta'amim ha'eila. Because of these two reasons which the text gives. What are the two reasons? What are the two reasons that the text gives? What? That's number one. Kiyat Levar Adam. And what else? What are the two reasons which the text gives? Why God has decided not to strike out against man. Ramban says there are shnei ta'amim. What? What is it in the say in the text? I have to find the words in the text. In the text. Which two factors does Ramban identify? He says, Mipnei Eile Shnei Hata'amim. So,
just punish the ones who sin, not the entire
world. Exactly. Exactly. It says in the second phrase of Chabad, Lo osif od lahakot et kol chai asher asiti. Who is kol chai asher asiti? Animals, trees, everything. So God has two reasons here why He decides never to bring such a mabul. Number one, that rak mi'uru rav. Maybe he'll become a little more intelligent. As he grows up, as he matures, he'll be able to develop a sense of ethics and morality. Number two, you know what? I just don't see any reason for me to strike out against the whole world just on account of the fact that man is acting in an inappropriate fashion. Yes?
Could we see a metaphor that maybe it's not man as individuals who are born with an evil, who are unformed and allow their evil inclination to take over, but the human race as a whole, that God says, well, I just created these people and, you know, maybe they need a few more centuries or a millennia to mature?
You could possibly say that.
I mean, we think of ourselves as a more mature and sophisticated
I wouldn't say that today we are more mature and well, less mature, far less. That's not going to change. Yeah. Okay. So that's what happens. God smells the korban, makes his decision. He swears. Yeshayahu uses that oath to prove to Am Yisrael that this is going to be the case always for Am Yisrael. And God here tells us, I'm not going to make this never happened again. So let's continue. One more pasuk of description as to what's not going to happen any longer. Od kol yemei haaretz. From here on in, all of the days of the earth, Zera, Vikatsir, Vikor, Vachom, Vakayitz, Vachoref, Yom Valayla lo yishbosu. Nothing in nature is going to change from here on in. Then the seasons will always be the seasons. Day and night will always be day and night. That I make as a promise, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, what do I mean, the seasons? So if God is promising I'm not going to make a change in the seasons, what inference do they have to make? What happened during the Mabul? There was all one pattern. And if God is saying, Yom V'layla Lo Yishbosu, what does it mean? That there was not Yom V'layla. So what was there? We'll take a look in a second. We'll see in a second. So Rashi claims that there are six seasons a year. Not four, six. How did Rashi come to that? He just looks at the pasuk. It says, Zera v'katsir v'kor v'chom v'kaitz v'choref. No, that's six seasons. And Rashi allots 2 months to every season, which he has just identified. Take a look at Rashi. In it, where it says, on the top of Chabet, Ol Kumayah, it's Lo Yishbotu, Vav Itim Halalu, these 6 seasons, 6 times, Shnei Chadashim L'chol Echad Ve'echad. 2 months are awarded for each season. Now the easy thing would be was to award 2 full months to each season. Oh, that's not the way the Medrash arranges it. It's a half a month of one season, a full month, and then a half a month of another season to make up 2 months. Kimosh Shaninu, as we have seen in the Medrash quoted in the Gemara. Chatzi Tishrei, v'u Mar Cheshvon, half of Tishrei and Mar Cheshvon, v'chatzi Kislev is Zerah. That's one. Chatzi Kislev, v'teves, v'chatzi Shevet, chatzi Shvat, Kor. Now Rashi says, Kor, Kosha Michorev. Kor is bitterkalt. Choref is cold, winter. But Kor is like this winter was. Very, very cold. Now, Choref is 8 Zera Seorim v'kitnis hacharifin lehit bashel maher. Choref allows certain grains, like barley and certain beans, to ripen very quickly. Hu chatzi shevet, chatzi shvat v'adar v'chatzi nisan. Kitzir is chatzi nisan v'iyar v'chatzi sivan. Kayitz is chatzi sivan tamuz v'chatzi av. Hu zman l'kitat te'enim, it's the time when they pluck figs. Hu zman shimyabshin oso b'sadot, the time when they dry them out. Ushmo kayitz, I don't know why, kimo halechem v'hakayitz le'echol ha'ne'arim. And chom, who is sof yimot hachama. Chom is the end of the summer, end of kayitz. Chatzi av, elo v'chatzi tishrei, sheha'olam cham biyoter. The world is hottest. Not quite sure it's accurate. For when, according to Rashi, half of av, all of Elul and half of Tishrei, so that's like equivalent to us, August and September. That's the hottest days of the year. Very nice. So none of these change in patterns and seasons took place during the Mabul. Which one did exist? We don't exactly know. We don't know which of the seasons existed. What? Oh, that's the next Rashi. Now Rashi's going to say something and you'll support it and everybody's going to challenge him. Let's take a look at Rashi. V'yom v'layla lo yishbosu. Michlal inference, shishavsu kol yimei hababu. That night and day did stop throughout the entire Mabul. Shilo shimshu hamazalot. The constellations were not working. V'lo nikar bein yom u'bein laila, and you could not recognize the difference in day and night. So your gut reaction was that what was it? Had to be dark. Had to be dark, because the absence of the sun would automatically say what? Because if you say to who are the mazalot? The sun and the moon. Exactly. But if they're not working, they're hiding someplace. Ah, that's exactly the questions which are being launched against interpreting Rashi this way. I'll say it, don't worry. Here are the questions. Number one, Noah was commanded to put a tzohar on the teva. For what purpose would you put a tzohar if it was dark? Only. But if there was no light, if it was Lila throughout the entire days of the Mabul, then why would you bother putting it so hard on the thing?
To see when the light comes.
Okay, they're not happy with that. Secondly, if Noach opens up the teva when it's dark, and he sends away the Orev and the Yonah and so on and so forth, how are they going to find any place to even if there was a place to rest, where are they going to find it? How are they going to find the teva coming back? It's dark. Not the most powerful questions in the world. So therefore, others say that what does Rashi have in mind? Punkapoya! It was never dark. It was light for 150 straight days and nights. Yom v'layla lo yishbosu. There was no nighttime. It was constantly light. Constantly light. And now God says, you know what? The cycle of day and night, evenly distributed, will not be touched upon again. And I mean evenly distributed doesn't mean evenly distributed every night, but during the balance of the year, some nights are longer, some nights are shorter. But then you'll get to the summer, the nights are longer, the days are longer, the nights are shorter. So they'll all balance out. But during the Mabul itself, only 150 days of light.
What does it mean when it says the Ramadan hit the Ikar? This is before the Shemesh.
I can't answer that question. I never answered it there. That's possible. That the light is provided by a source other than the sun. Because on day number two, God created light, and he didn't create the sun until day number four. Yeah.
What about the idea that it could have been sort of a twilight, the same twilight that prevailed in the creation, during which time the laws of nature were suspended, and anything could happen, right? The things, the miracles that were created during the twilight of the last day of creation, and also we know that when we're planning something and we don't want to do like a wedding or whatever, during that uncertain time, because it's neither here nor there, Couldn't it have been a sort of...
A Bein HaShemashot existence.
Yeah.
Interesting. Just as good as anything else. Yes. Yes.
Well, kind of building on that notion that it predates creation. Whatever was before the creation of the constellation.
Right.
Is this whole notion that there is a reverse, that the flood is kind of like a reversal of the creation story.
Correct. It's going back to the beginning of creation.
Right. Well,
precisely.
In other words, a water storm above, the water storm below, just that whole division piece, and that if the exception of what's happening inside the ark, it is a return to Torah.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. Yes, that's correct. And you have in order to create the Rakia, there was that split between Hamayim here. Well, now Mayim's all over the joint. Exactly. That's a very good point. Yes. Possibility. I haven't seen anybody. I'm not saying it's not possible, but that's so you're bringing a proof based on the fact that there are places in the world where the sun doesn't set, for several months. It's possible.
And then where summer is winter and winter, it's not universal.
But that's true. It doesn't have to be universal. Yeah.
Something was different. Also, the idea that the whole world could be flooded, that
yeah. Yeah, we pointed out that water would have to go, right. So what did the Medrash answer? They built these high walls to protect the water going into Eretz Yisrael. Once you're dealing with a Medrash, they have an answer for everything. But that's what it said. They built these big walls to protect the. Yes. And by the way, Ibn Ezra thinks he's crazy. There are only four seasons. Just because there are six words in the text doesn't mean there are six seasons. Yes.
Right. Every planting season is different in different.
Correct.
Like,
so tell me. So just tell me. Correct. Tell me how Ibn Ezra reads this pasuk without six seasons. Tell me, Ibn Ezra. He says, of course, only four seasons. So how does the text read? Yom V'layla is not one of the six.
Yeah.
It's Zera Katsir Kol B'Chamakar. What does he say?
It's
But Zera and Katsira are not seasons. Not describing seasons. What are they describing? That the capacity to do what? To grow and plant didn't exist during the Mabul. And God is now saying, I will never return to a state which would be before day number three. Day number three in creation, what did God say? Tad Sheha Aretz Deshe. During the Mabul, ain't nothing growing. Again, going back, it's an excellent view. It's going back to pre-formation of the world. So God says, from here on in, there's always going to be Zera Vekatzir. How do we have, and four seasons. What they are, Kor, Vachom, Chayetz, and Choref. Of course. Those are four seasons. And not six seasons, the way Rashi said it. It Ibn Ezra says, like it's a Dove of Pashat, that of course it's only four seasons. Yes. No, this is all. This is. He's not saying anything. He's just saying Vayom Hashem b'libo. So now, Noach would eventually experience it,
right?
No doubt. He probably noticed that something was not happening. That there was a change in nature. If it was either all dark or all night, he must have noticed that. One of the two.
What about before the flood?
What?
Oh,
100% it was, no doubt.
So it's once, kind of strange to people coming out
of the Teva, no doubt.
It's
a return, it's a reverse, it's a return to what the life used to be. But it seems to be a brand new creation. Mm-hmm. That's what's happening here. So much of what we witnessed at the creation of the land, of the world, is being recreated once again in the time of Noah. Day and night, function of the sun, capacity to grow. Man, pru, or vu. Everything that took place in creation is being capsulized in the next two psukim. Everything. All 6 days of creation. Yes?
I don't know if I'm correct, but I seem to remember learning in the Samnavi that the same thing will occur before Mashiach comes, that the patterns of seasons will be
I don't know. Yes?
I heard that you don't have to worry about climate change until this comes from Hashem, that there will always be seasons.
What about the
weather? Climate change?
Yeah, you know, people worry is climate change, the world coming to cold.
Ah, warming. Global warming. Like I said, did we have global warming in New Jersey this year? No, so the Teretz was, there was global warming throughout the world except for the northeast of the United States.
No, it's not global warming, it's an exchange.
I know.
Very cold and very
right.
Hot.
Okay.
But because of this planet, you don't have to worry about it.
You don't have to worry about it. Okay.
What about the Hayah Shamoah that Hashem is going to stop the rains and the bad?
That's something else, but he's not destroying the earth. It's not destroying what?
Undoing.
In Eretz Yisrael, there will be V'lo Yiyeh Mata. Oh, yeah. Eretz Lo Yitena Tevula. In Eretz Yisrael. That's correct. But it's not going to happen. It's not going to be worldwide. Yes?
Just something earlier. What I just wanted to do the imagery that Hashem smelled the pleasing aroma. Rather than he saw that he offered the Korban.
Because Reyach Nichoach is the expression that is used by every single Korban in Sefer Vayikra. Every single Reach Nichoach Ishel Hashem must be 500 times in Sefer Vayikra.
Is this the first time too?
Yes, it is.
So
Shmek Shmek. That's the way you do it when you teach it to your kid. Ah, Shmek Shmek. That's the way you teach it. Shmek Shmek. What? That also, right? But every pasuk, every time there's a pasuk of the korban, Reyach Nichoach Ishel Hashem. You don't trust me? Open up to Vayikra chapter 1. And chapter 2, you'll find it there 500 times.
It's also not a physical,
obvious. Obviously not. Physical. That's correct. The Torah describes God like you and me. Correct. Correct.
God accepted their
with the light. With the light. Right? Yeah.
He defines it as
pleasing.
Yeah.
Yes. That's what it really means.
Do you think that by Christ uses it because of the consequences of creation? In other words,
no,
it's such positive consequences of creation that by Christ would say it every time.
No, I'm saying that this is a standard phrase. Vayarach is used by Korbanot. So I'm not shocked that it's used here as something that God finds pleasing as a Korban. So that's here, and now comes the climax, the culmination of creation. Vayavarach Elohim es Noach ves banav, vayom Elohim, pru urvu umilu et haaretz. Exactly what God said to Adam on the sixth day of creation. Yes. He doesn't say v'kiv shuha. That's a good question. I don't have an answer on the spot. He says doesn't say pruvu v'kiv shuha, right? He doesn't say that. I don't understand. I don't. Umora achem. Here comes a fundamental change. Umora achem v'chitchem yihyeh al kol chayat haaretz v'al kol ov hashamayim. Your fear will be placed upon all animals, all birds, b'chol asher tumos ha'adama, anything that bugs, those creepy bugs that crawl on the ground, b'chol dgei hayam b'yedchem nitan. I have now given you the license to take control and to eat. All of these, obviously only those that are kosher. So he's now giving him control, as we will see. Kol remes asher hu chai, lochem yihyeh le'ochlo, ki yerek esef nosati lochem eskol. Anything that creeps along that's alive, I'm giving you the license to eat it. Just as up until now, you had the license to eat what? Just the grass. Man only ate vegetables and fruits, anything that grew. Now you can eat living creatures as well. Ah, that was my question. How does this fit into the scheme as a consequence of the Mabul? Why would this now be a consequence of the Mabul? Pre-Mabul, you're limited to vegetation. Post-Mabul, you can eat anything that creeps, that flies. Why? What does one have to do with the other?
Above the animal world.
But why is that a consequence of the Mabul? I agree that it is. But why does it emerge? Why does it emerge from directly from the experience of the Mabul?
Because Noah took care of them. Just like Adam took care of the earth. And when
so it's a reward.
Yeah.
Okay. Perhaps.
I thought maybe when Kleinecker says that you made it this Chomer, you're more of a Chomer. I can't recognize it, but more of a Chomer. Part of us is Chomer.
But part of also has life.
Right, but that allows us maybe to have we need this for our survival.
Could be. I don't know. I don't know. I know the question. I don't have a good answer for it. Yes.
No, I was going to say very much.
I'm not calling on you. I'm not calling on you.
Oh.
It's okay. Oh, no. Yes. Don't have to apologize. So, yeah.
Maybe,
yes. Maybe. Okay. I, whatever you have is. I'm just raising the question. it seems that there's a logical flow of every step along the way thus far between rectifying what had been done and now change and bringing it back. We saw that step by step. This doesn't seem to fit into what's going on. Why would he feel necessary now? I have to let you to eat meat. I'm not complaining about it. Trust me, I'm not complaining. Yes.
I think it's because he was told to save the animals, so they have to be saved from the kedusha time.
So when you have a corned beef sandwich for lunch today, that's being saved for kedusha.
Well, you can't just eat it. You have to
share. Yeah, right. That's true. Okay. I hear. I'm just telling you to think about it. We'll stop here. Think about it. We'll continue next Shabbat.